It's Rob and Brent and my Reggie dude. And don't forget, it also features Dawson too. We gonna give you all the dope reviews, but first we'll hit on all the movie news. Cha-ching, cha-ching, box office due. In between the news and the reviews, there's not a lot that we don't do. So turn the volume up, cause we coming through. Put your headphones on and tie your shoes. Jackman and Grant, we got all the views. We're like Brando and Godfather 2. We're gonna make a podcast you can't refuse. This is the Cinema Chat Podcast, and we know a lot about movies.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. It's another episode of Cinema Chat Podcast with Robin, Brent, and Reggie, featuring Dawson. I'm Brent.
I'm Rob.
I'm Reggie.
I'm featuring Dawson.
And we're back again. It's episode 465. Counting down or up to 500. We're going to be talking about A24's new movie, Civil War. But we got a lot to pack in this week, so let's get started.
What did we watch this week? Let us give you a peek. We'll get to the news real soon. First, listen to this little tune. Give us the attention we seek while we tell you what we watched this week.
Let me just get us kick started. I didn't watch any movies this week other than Civil War, but I did watch 6 episodes of Fallout on Amazon Prime. And you guys know me, I am very much like not picking up new shows really. It takes me 2 years to get to a show these days. I was interested in this one, so I checked it out. I watched the first episode and I was hooked. And I'll probably watch episode 7 when we finish here later tonight. I'm really digging it. I like it. I played one of the games. I don't remember which game, and I couldn't tell you much about it. So I'm essentially coming in kind of fresh eyes on this thing, and I've really enjoyed it. Walton Goggins is awesome, as he always is. But so that's what I've been watching this week, and I really like it. So Dawson, what about you?
Same. I watched the whole series. I finished it Friday, something like that. I think I was done with it by Friday. Fantastic. I played Fallout 3 and 4, New Vegas. So I've played a bunch of them. This is just, it ties into it. And like, this could potentially be the best video game adaptation of all time. They do such a good job of like giving love to the people that like the games, and there's little nods throughout every episode that stuff that you'll pick up on if you play the games. If you haven't, you don't miss anything. The humor is on point. The story is fantastic, and there's twists and turns just like there are in the other game, and it feels like you're just playing an extended cutscene. It's fantastic. It's one of the best shows I've ever watched, I think. And the fact that it's a video game and they just crushed it. Like this and The Last of Us are 1A, 1B for like video game. So I mean, it's 100% worth the time. Even if you never play the games, you'll enjoy it.
I do really like it. You're very, very, very high on it. I think it's very good. I do think there are some people that maybe really love the game franchise. I've heard some negativity from some of those people, but you're going to get that with most things, right? Like this story takes place after the games, right?
It's like, I feel like it's in between one of the games, or maybe it's after, I don't know. It might be afterwards.
I think I saw a timeline that it was after.
I think you're right. Yeah. I think it is after all the games. So yeah. But I think the biggest complaint some people had was like the placement of one of the towns is not like completely accurate to the games, but it's like, that's hand waving. And there's also like, where's the mention of Fallout New Vegas? Just finish the series, brother, and then you'll get your answer.
Well, there you go. There you go, Reggie. They're taking an existing universe and expanding upon it by having something happen after previous events. So yeah, hop on.
And it's great.
Actually, actually, you know what, Reggie? Maybe don't watch it, because I would really like a season two.
It's going to get a season two. Definitely going to get a season two.
What else did you watch?
Civil War. Watch that. I watched Woody Woodpecker Goes to Camp.
Why?
On Netflix. Because my kids were like, hey, that's a new movie. That Barf. Looks fun.
Barf. How was it?
Awful. It was not. Fucking they terrible. Enjoyed it. They liked it. But I was like, I'm going to go. Woody, I don't know. It's awful. Don't watch it.
Where were you going with that?
I don't know. You'll blow my brains out. Then I watched Fallout.
Bluey.
Shows. Bluey. Yeah, Bluey had a big episode. The Sign, the mega episode, the 28-minute episode was Sunday. I was busy. I bought a camper last week, so I had, like, I spent a whole day doing that, and then another day doing that, and then I was at the cabin this weekend, so I've been busy. I haven't watched a ton. Oh, I watched a documentary on Netflix. It's about QAnon or 4chan and like how that site kind of changed. It's like the Unsocial Network or something like that. I can't remember what it was called. It's newer on Netflix. Mm. So I don't know. It's similar to one I've seen before, but it was just kind of like how 4chan came to be.
Yeah.
What its impacts it's had, like Anonymous, like spun off of that, and you know, yeah, those other ones. So I watched that. Shit, there was something else. Oh, there's a new, another new show on Netflix I started to watch. Brent, maybe you might enjoy this. It's a reality show set in a prison in Arkansas, where the warden or the sheriff, whatever, he's just like, hey, overseas, they just like let the prisoners roam, like, and kind of govern themselves. Let's try that here and let's film it. So they just open up the doors and let the inmates govern themselves, and they just kind of sit back and watch. There's a fight in like the first like 5 minutes of them being out in public. So then they go in and break it up and send everybody back to their cells. But like, if we do this, we can't do this if you guys don't want to work with each other. And it's like I don't know. I got to watch the rest of it, but it seems like, why are we doing experiments on prisoners and like putting on Netflix?
Jesus.
We're watching it. I guess that's why.
Yeah. Well, someone's watching it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, what is this?
Thank you, Frack. You subscribe tier 1, 25 months. It's 2 years. Plus, he says, I got a 3-body problem in my pants. So, That's where he's at. Dawson, anything else that you've watched? Did you watch the new episode of Quiet on the Set?
No, I didn't. I did not. Yeah.
I mean, it's fine. It's got some updates in it, but it's not. I mean, the real meat of the series is obviously the stuff that they spent the most time on, episodes 1 through 4. Reggie, what'd you watch?
I didn't actually watch much of anything, honestly. I finished 3 Body Problem. Thoroughly enjoyed that. What else? Star Trek Discovery came back for the last season. So I've been watching that. Got caught up on X-Men. And I think that's it. Yeah. Bunch of anime stuff. There's a new show on Hulu called Go Go Loser Ranger, and I'm watching that. It's kind of slow, so I don't know if I'm going to finish it. But I'll give it like 2-3 more episodes, I think. But the premise is that like the Power Rangers are assholes, kind of. Like monsters came to Earth.
I saw that on TikTok.
Is that the thing you sent me, Dawson?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go-Go Loser Rangers or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
So, like, okay. Monsters came to Earth, and then the quote-unquote Power Rangers knockoff kicked their ass, and then, like, every week they pretend to beat the monsters, even though, you know, they beat them, like, a year or so ago, or 10 years ago, I forget. So, and then one of the monsters gets sick and tired of it and decides they're going to expose these guys, the Rangers. So I don't know. So far, it's kind of slow, but I'm hoping it picks up.
Where is that available?
Yeah, On Hulu. It's on Hulu.
Yeah, I watched it. The second episode hooked me. I don't know if you watched the second episode yet.
I think I started the second. Yeah, I started it, and I have to go back and finish the second episode.
So not as good as Delicious in Dungeon?
No.
Okay.
Well, right now.
Just no. Checking.
But, like, it just started, so. And then Solo Leveling finished, so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's been the anime that I've been looking forward to every week. Solo Leveling is amazing.
Okay. All right, Rob, what about you?
Yeah, I watched the same thing that Reggie watched. Also, been keeping up with X-Men 97 and Star Wars The Bad Batch. I finished watching Parasite the Grey on Netflix. And I think I mentioned last week that it's like a Korean version of a Japanese anime, and they did something completely different. I didn't like it as much, but it was, you know, good to see like a Korean version of something on that. I watched finished Invincible. That's a great show another great show on Amazon Prime. Now that I finished Parasite the Grey, I'm going to start watching the Fallout show too. So I got that next on my list to watch.
All right. Well, that's good. 2 weeks ago, as we move on to our next short segment, 2 weeks ago we reviewed Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire. I gave it a 2. Dawson, you gave it a 4. Rob, you gave it a 7. Any of the three of us, I'm certainly not changing mine. That movie can fuck off. Rob, Dawson, 7 and 4. Where are we at? You feeling good about those, or you want to come to the dark side?
Yeah, I'm still good.
Okay. Reggie, did you see that movie? You weren't here for that episode, so.
No, I still haven't seen it.
Okay. Well, take your time. Take your time.
I've heard so many bad things about it that I'm like, I'm not going to rush out and see it since I missed it. And I was like, when it comes to streaming, I'll check it out maybe.
Yeah.
Hey, Brent.
Yes, sir.
I'm terribly sorry. Can I send you something? This is a long, on-air production meeting.
Tweet it to me, maybe?
Okay.
Or you can send it to WhatsApp.
Okay, I'm sending you this. I'm really sorry. I just click this link and see if you can play this.
Okay.
I'm fascinated by this.
Hold on.
It's just,
are you DMing it?
I DM'd you, yeah.
Okay. Oh shit. DM it to Cinema Chat. Sorry. I'm not logged in on this. Yeah, send it to Cinema Chat.
Okay, there you go.
Okay. Alright, let's see here. What the hopefully fuck it is just plays. This? Alright, let's see. I'm clicking it. Hold on.
Welcome to the chat, Cinema Chat, with Rob, Brent, and Reggie in the habitat. Featuring Dawson, yeah, they know where it's at. Roll the film, let's talk where the popcorn's at. Oh, yeah. Cinema Chat podcast. Every episode, a blast from the past.
Is that AI art that, music?
That is AI generated based off of a prompt. It was just intro for a movie podcast titled Cinema Chat Podcast with Rob and Brent, Reggie featuring Dawson. And then it spit out that I have 4 different versions of this song. Like in 2 minutes, it's just boom, here you go. And I can extend that to a full song if I want. That's just a snippet of like. You can change the genres. It's crazy. I think you can change the genres by remixing it. Yeah, you can change. I don't know. You can write your own lyrics if you want and drop them in there. I don't know. I thought that was incredible.
We're taking jobs away from artists, people.
Hey, you want new intros, new buffers or something every week? Got it. Okay. Sorry. I'm really sorry. I just thought that was impressive.
That's pretty good. 2 minutes, huh? You just did that just now.
Just now. Okay. I can do anything I want.
Okay. So we're good with that. Let's do some news. We got a lot to do here. Let's do this.
Cindy, the news is on.
Insightful.
Good news.
If the headline is big enough, it makes the news big enough.
Timely.
The news goes on for 24 hours a day.
Well prepared.
You like Huey Lewis on the news?
Well, I got some bad news for you.
Do you want the Aladdin news or the Aladdin news?
The Aladdin news?
This is movie news.
We got a lot of news. The CinemaCon was this last week, and I'm just going to fly through this. There's a ton out there. We can highlight things if we want. Feel free to stop me at any time. But I'll kick off with Paramount. Paramount might have had the biggest showing of CinemaCon. They came out swinging. We're getting a live-action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin film that's going to be rated R.
Yes.
So it's a comic book that continued the story after three of the turtles had perished and one fought on. So it looks awesome. I'm here for live action Ninja Turtles. So
and I've never read that book, but the way I understand it is the last turtle, but you don't.
Yeah,
you don't know who it is, and maybe until the book ends. And they use all of the weapons for all four turtles, mm-hmm. right? That's badass.
There's a Last Ronin video game coming.
Yeah.
Also, so like, get ready for Last Ronin. I think that's how they're gonna hook us, like adults, Brent. Like we grew up with turtles, but we didn't read Last Ronin.
Yeah.
But now it's like now they're just gonna inject that into us because there's a Last Ronin 2 with like a new generation of new turtles. So there's a lot.
Let's go.
We've got a new Star Trek film coming, Reggie. That is I believe it's a prequel to events we've already seen, I think. Sorry, I don't have it pulled up here, but that's coming.
Yeah, I know. It sucks. And honestly, I don't think anybody in the Star Trek fandom, at least the circles that like I've been in and I know, are happy about this because it's like one of the worst Star Trek properties was Enterprise, which was before the first Star Trek. So it's like, why are we not moving forward with, you know, this universe and whatever, you know, going backwards and backwards? And it's just... Hollywood keeps going backwards and backwards with every franchise they've got, you know, Star Wars going backwards and backwards. We got this here. It's ridiculous. And then on top of it, Star Trek is being canceled left, right, and center. You know, they canceled Discovery. Lower Decks was just canceled. Prodigy got canceled. So it's like,
are they doing one more seasons of those though? Like one more?
Well, yeah, I mean, they're doing a final season Discovery, which is airing now, and then Lower Decks is getting a last season, but it's just Paramount. When you look at what's coming out, I guess, with Star Trek, it's very disconcerting, you know? I mean, they were still talking about whether or not they're going to do that Chris Hemsworth Star Trek, which, you know, with the original cast or what have you. But so it's just, it doesn't look good. So like as a fan, I don't know who this is for, because nobody wants old Star Trek. Like we got Strange New Worlds. We don't need this. Yeah. You know, like just move forward.
Yeah. I was down with Strange New Worlds until they took a pivot and went off into like their own separate timeline. And I had like, well, I'm going to bow out now.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, so More Star Trek, though. Hey, they're doing more Star Trek.
Could be worse.
Yeah, it could be worse. Like, we're getting another Arnold Schwarzenegger film re-envisioned. Edgar Wright is going to bring us a new version of The Running Man, starring Glenn Powell from Anyone But You.
For
that, his best film.
Glenn Powell from Anyone But You.
That's his best film.
Not Top Gun Maverick.
Not Top Gun. Not Devotion. Upcoming Twisters.
I haven't seen it yet, but that'll probably be it after, because Anyone But You is his best one. G.I. Joe's Transformers crossover film is officially announced. There was a 5-minute epic preview of Gladiator 2, which gave us a quick snippet. It's 20 years after the first film. Paul Mescal plays a nobleman who's renounced his privilege and is inspired by Maximus. It has man-eating monkeys, a charging rhino, and sharks. Pedro Pascal plays a Roman general, forced to become a gladiator after he wants to stop sending men to war. Denzel Washington is a shadowy operator manipulating everything. Joseph Quinn is an emperor, and I guess he's taking like the Joaquin Phoenix type of role for the previous one. And Paul Mescal and Pedro Pascal face off in the arena. So everyone says the snippet they saw was badass, and that's what they want. Like, they say it sounds awesome. So
I just say, I never thought I'd see Roman gladiators and sharks in the same movie.
I know. They're like, it's...
Wait, there are sharks in this?
That's what they said. There's sharks, like, in the scene. Like, it must be in the gladiator pit. There's sharks, and there's rhinos, and there's different animals and stuff, like, in the mix.
Okay, I guess I could see that.
There's probably pits, and, like, if you get kicked in the shark-infested water, you get eaten.
The old Colosseums, they were able to flood them to do like naval battles and recreation of naval battles. So like that, I can see that happening. Yeah. I guess
sharks with freaking
laser beams,
spears on their heads. Transformers 1, they got a people in attendance got a snippet of that. We'll see a trailer for that, I think, next week or this week. That's the animated film with the star-studded cast.
Is doing Optimus Prime in that movie.
Yeah. Brian Tyree Henry is what's the bad guy's name?
Megatron,
I think so. Yeah. So it's a huge cast. There's a new Avatar The Last Airbender trilogy films coming out. And I think they're animated, and Dave Bautista is gonna be the main villain voice actor. SpongeBob movie will have nudity in it. that's what they said. Smile 2 is happening, and the film is going to be set around a pop star who begins to like infect their fans with the smile curse and how they work with that. So that to me is a little more interesting than the first one.
Who is the pop star, did they say?
They did, but I don't have it in my notes. I try to keep these as condensed as possible. You could look it up. Scary Movie is getting a new movie and more. So, I mean, there was a ton of shit.
Oh, it's Naomi Scott.
Okay.
From Aladdin. She was Jasmine. She was also in the Charlie's Angels movie, that more recent one.
Universal Studios had Five Nights at Freddy 2 is coming out next year in theaters. There's some Twisters footage was shown with starring Glenn Powell from Anyone But You. Wild Robot trailer came out. There was Wolfman. He has Nards. Wolfman from the Monsters, Dark Monsters Universe, whatever. Universal Monster, that's getting a movie. Wicked got some footage shown, so not as big. We got our first look at Nosferatu from Focus Pictures. Warner Brothers did, they showed some footage from Furiosa. We got our first look at Joker 2, Folie à Deux. I don't know. I'd really give a shit. I don't really know if I care for that movie. I don't know. The first one was cool, but I don't know. I don't know that I care to see it.
I think it's interesting that they're hiding that this is a musical. There are going to be a bunch of people who are going to watch this movie and be real pissed off.
If I see
It's a soft musical, so, but it has 15 songs.
It's a hard pass.
That's a lot of singing.
Soft musical, hard pass. If I see one more nerd talk about how amazing the shot is where she draws the smile on the glass, and he puts his face up to it and smiles perfectly with it. If I see one more of you fucking film nerds talk about how amazing that is, I'm gonna Yamo make, you know, whatever. But
you gotta be right next to me.
You gotta be right. You gotta be right next to me. Yeah,
totally amazing.
Beetlejuice 2, The Watchers, footage was shown. Trap, which is an M. Night Shyamalan movie, was shown. Footage from Mickey 17 was shown. They said it was Mickey 7, but they decided to go back and reshoot it and kill Robert Pattinson 10 more times. So then it's Mickey 17. Lionsgate Pictures confirmed Highlander, starring Henry Cavill, is happening with director Chad Stahelski.
Finally.
We'll see. Live-action Naruto films are happening. Now You See Me 3. The whole cast is back.
Ooh.
The whole cast is back. And they are going to be working or facing off against a new generation of magicians. So we're ushering in the next generation of magicians.
I retract my woo.
Here's another one for you guys. Blair Witch. We're getting a new Blair Witch project. I think it was Blumhouse is working with them on that in an effort to revitalize franchises from the 90s. There's like this is like the first of other projects they're going to do. So that's all they have so far. I don't know if it's what it's going to be like, but it's a new Blair Witch film's coming. Margot Robbie is doing a Monopoly live action film. There is footage for The Crow, Borderlands, The New Strangers Chapter 1, Never Let Go, The Gray, which is a Guy Ritchie film, The Ballerina, which footage was shown, and John Wick, or Keanu Reeves, is going to be in the film as the events of the film take place between John Wick 3 and 4, I think it was, or 2 and 3. So that's happening. We got our first look at the Michael Jackson film. What?
I was just going to say, I am so excited for this Strangers trilogy that's coming out. I love those movies. I like every one of them. I'm excited for, I like the trend of doing like a trilogy of movies within a short time frame. I like everything I'm seeing about it. I like a home invasion movie. I am excited for this Strangers trilogy. The trailer for the first one looks great. Can't wait.
You mentioned that on Cutting Room 4, which you guys could get if you subscribe to our Patreon.
Patreon.com/cinemachatpodcast.
Yes. What is The Strangers? I don't think I've seen this. Is that the Keanu Reeves movie?
It's that home invasion one with the weird, like the white hooded
mask. He's got like the mask and one of them's got like a doll face. It's three killers. Attack a cabin. There was a 2006 movie, I think, with Liv Tyler and Scott Speedman, and then they redid it back in like 2016, and I like that one just as much. It was like Strangers Pray at Night or something like that.
It's a home invasion. Like they're kind of like, you know, torturing psychos that are trying to kill you, and they, you know, just, you know, you've seen it. Yeah, so all of those look good. The Crow did get delayed also, so.
It's just the beginning.
Yeah, it got pushed out.
I'm not going to believe it till I'm sitting in a seat in the theater.
Pushed out how far?
Like a month. A couple months? Like
okay.
I think you have 1 month.
That's all I'm saying, Reggie. I don't care if I've seen a trailer.
it's happening. Disney had about 75 minutes of footage to play through their films. They gave us a timeline of everything that's coming out this year. Not a huge slate from Disney, but we're getting Disney Fox now because they're Fox. We got 9 minutes of Planet of the Apes, the new Planet of the Apes movie. There was 9 minutes of Deadpool and Wolverine shown. There were some things that were put into it that were probably filmed just for CinemaCon, not to give too much away. Kevin Feige came on stage and said it looks fucking awesome, and he can say that because it's rated R.
Feige used the F word
on stage in front of everybody.
Okay.
they also said that Deadpool is going to be able, they're allowing him to design his own popcorn bucket. So expect a lewd popcorn bucket from Mr. Deadpool.
Dune 2 style.
Yeah, that's probably something like a mouth or something. There's been artist renderings out there, but nothing confirmed. 35 minutes of Inside Out 2 was screened.
Wow.
And people said Disney's got a hit on their hands with that one. Alien Romulus, which footage was shown. Moana 2 footage was shown. The new Mufasa, the Lion King prequel movie was shown for 9 minutes or so. Captain America, The Brave New World. We got footage there. We got to see Harrison Ford as Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross for the first time. Anthony Mackie was on screen. I guess there was a nice little moment between Harrison Ford and Don Cheadle where they looked at each other and he's like, yeah, I don't look the same. They told me I had to shave my mustache. And he's like, yeah, I don't look the same either. Because last time they were on screen together, they were Terrence Howard and the other guy. There was a young woman in this. What?
I was just going to say, while we're talking about Marvel, they added an asterisk to the Thunderbolts title.
Yeah, and it was intentional.
It just has an asterisk at the end of it, and they said they will talk about that after the movie releases. It is an official part of the title. So, I don't know. I don't know what that means, but it's interesting.
Part of me thinks this is the film is on a different timeline.
We'll see.
And like, it's not going to impact maybe that's going to be their thing. It's like, we can do all these different side stories now.
Just put an asterisk at the end of it.
Yep. And then it's a different timeline.
I think that it's going to refer to them being like the Dark Avengers, because that's what it's really, really based off of.
Oh, you're saying they're going to change the title?
No, it'll say Thunderbolts, but the asterisk on the bottom will say Dark Avengers.
Mm, I gotcha.
Okay.
It's a placeholder. Okay. Daisy Ridley's new film, The Woman in the Sea, was shown. So, yeah, people were really impressed with their footage they were shown. Deadpool and Wolverine was kind of the big one. So they also said it is Deadpool and Wolverine, not Deadpool 3. That's a big note because they said that was fun and it was good over there, but this is time to move forward. So we got that. Okay. Moving on, because we're on the heels of Rebel Moon Part 2 coming out. Zack Snyder has come out and said, hey, I have the footage I need to fix Sucker Punch. I just need the support from a fan campaign to get this extended cut off the ground. So let's get the hashtag going.
Extended cut.
Sucker Punch, Snyder Cut now. Like, he can fix it, you guys. That was his worst film, and he can fix it.
There is no fixing that stupid-ass film.
He's like, got the footage.
He would have to start over. It would have to be a whole different film.
That crazy white dude, fuck him.
He has the footage, okay? He has the footage.
I'm so sick and tired of Zack Snyder. I wish he would go away.
Well, yeah.
I saw that and I had to bring it up.
On that
he
note,
he has to edit out all of the other, like the real world stuff, and just keep the fantasy stuff.
on the fuck Zack Snyder tip, Reggie, we'll talk more about this at the end of the episode, but we've had a scheduling change on the show in regards to Rebel Moon Part 2. So we'll talk about that after the show. Well, at the end of the show, we'll talk about that, but continue.
Disney Plus announced today they're going to be adding channels into the streaming service. It'll function the same as old school TV channels, with different channels for different genres. Like, there'll be a Marvel channel, and there will be a Star Wars channel, and there will be a children's channel, but it's going to be built into Disney Plus. So you can watch Moon Knight at 7 p.m. And then you can watch, they're going to cycle through. It's just having on, it's just adding TV channels into their service.
Yeah, I mean,
you can watch the Marvel.
There's other Marvel
channel. It'll just play Marvel stuff all day long.
You know what? Shudder already does that. Like, when you go into the Shudder app, they have like Shudder TV, that's already playing something, and then you can watch it or just go and browse the movies. So that's
if I want to have Marvel stuff on the background all day long and don't think about it, just put it on and there it goes.
I've seen a lot of people online today complaining about that. And I'm like, I don't understand why anyone is upset by it, because it's not it's an additional thing. It's not like you can't treat Disney Plus or, you know, the same way as you've always treated it. It's just something extra they're putting on there in case you want to use it that way. And everyone's always worried about, oh, you know, what's it leading to? You know, what's it eventually going to turn into? I'm like, okay, well, let's worry about that when we get there, I guess. But this, to me, is just an extra. I don't know if I would even call it a benefit, because I don't give a shit. But to your point, Dawson, some people like that shit.
Yeah.
Why not?
My dad does that all the time. He's like, I just put this movie on. I had Black Widow on the background today. I'm like, why the hell would you pick Black Widow? Like, who's watching that? It's my dad, Avatar. Like, he'll put this shit up there. And it's like, why are you watching that? But yeah, I can see that. We're like, put ESPN on there and you can just stream your ESPN. They own it. Why not? Another thing that people are clamoring for, we're getting a brand new chapter in NBC's critically acclaimed television series Heroes.
They keep Heroes trying Eclipsed. To make that happen.
Heroes
they
Eclipsed.
Keep trying to make that happen.
It is now a project that will be set years after the original two
projects. Continuing the timeline.
And we're getting a whole new bunch of characters that are getting Evos that are discovering their abilities. That's changing their lives. So there's no cheerleader to save this time. It's now going to be a pharmacist or something. I don't know.
I didn't watch the original show. I won't watch this.
What?
What? Really?
No. Dude. Nah. The first that season is incredible.
It is.
It just because the writer's strike.
Because the writer's strike, and then they came back and just could not. Like, there's one point where a time traveler is being blackmailed, and I was like, how the hell do you blackmail a time traveler? It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And
but that first season's so fucking good.
Yeah, but that first scene is good. And then everybody becomes a Petrelli at the end, I think. Something like something
pretty much weird. They're all connected. It's all one big family.
Yeah.
Last thing that I've got, and then we can move on. Phil Lord and Chris Miller have a new project called Project Hail Mary. It's a book that's being adapted. It's going to be starring Ryan Gosling. It'll release in theaters in 2026. The story follows a man who wakes up from a coma and amnesia, and soon remembers that he was sent 12 light years away to save Earth, save humanity. So they just shot him in outer space and tried to fix him. I don't know. Sounds like a three-body problem to me.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, so that's your news. It's a lot.
All right. Well, let's
try and miss stuff.
It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, forget about it.
Box office, April 12th through the 14th, 2024. Number one, Civil War, the movie we're reviewing this week. It did $25.7 million. Number two, Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, $15.5 million. Number three, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, added an additional $5.7 million. It's getting close to $100 million domestic. Number four, Kung Fu Panda 4. It did $5.5 million. And number five, Dune Part 2 did $4.3 million. Dune Part 2 is now up to $272 million domestic, $684 million when you add international to domestic. So it is a massive success. And certainly leading to Dune Part 3, or whatever the fuck it's going to be called. So, but that's your box office for the weekend of April 12th through the 14th, 2024. And now we're ready for our feature presentation.
Welcome And now, our feature presentation.
Citizens of America, the so-called Western forces of Texas and California have suffered a very great defeat at the hands of the United States military.
Mr. President, do you regret the use of airstrikes against American citizens?
We're moving to D.C. today.
We need to go down there.
They shoot journalists on sight in the Capitol. Every instinct in me says this is death.
What if...
Every time I survived a war zone, I thought I was sending a warning home. Don't do this. But here we are.
There's some kind of misunderstanding here. What? Well, you're American, okay?
Okay. What kind of American are you? You don't know?
The Western forces will reach the White House on July 4th.
Oh, my God.
Get in the car! Get in the car! Move, move, move!
You're gonna hang back.
I'm not hanging back.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Civil War, written and directed by CinemaChat favorite Alex Garland, starring Kirsten Dunst, Wagner Moura, Kaylee Spaney, Nick Offerman, Nelson Lee, Jefferson White, Stephen McKinley Henderson, Meth Damon himself, Jesse Plemons, and a whole bunch of other people. You know, this is an interesting movie for me because it's, I mentioned Alex Garland. You've heard us review his movies and talk about his movies on here before. Most well known as the writer for 28 Days Later, wrote and directed Ex Machina, Annihilation, which is, if you haven't heard our review of that, I encourage you to go listen to that. But Alex Garland is someone that we've really liked a lot. He wrote Sunshine, which at one point in time,
one of my favorite movies,
Reggie said was one of his, maybe his favorite sci-fi movie of all time. So he's a very talented writer and director. So I was excited to hear that he was doing this movie. And then to hear that A24 was sort of dipping their toe into mid-budget blockbuster movies, I guess you would call it, because it's a $50 million budget, I think is what I heard. So it's not like a massive budget, but it is the biggest movie A24 has ever done.
Biggest budget they made.
So as an A24 fan, that was interesting to me. And then, you know, given our current political climate, I thought a movie about Civil War, it was interesting timing, I guess, would be what I would say. And I think, you know, we'll probably talk about this a little bit, but that sort of led to some trepidation from certain people. I know that I got a DM from a listener that basically was like, I'm surprised you all are reviewing this. I watched 20 seconds of the trailer and I was like, nope, not, I don't need that right now. But it has caused a lot of discussion. But I was very interested in this movie for all of those reasons that I just talked about. Whenever I heard it, I was in. Whenever I saw the trailer, I was in. And I've been excited up until the point where I was sitting in the chair in the theater to watch it. Reggie, where were you at coming into this?
I was super interested because, one, it's A24. You know, I'm going to be there for that. Alex Garland, give me more. And then the cast, the trailer looked really interesting. So was I concerned about, you know, I guess the timing of it? Not really, to be honest. Like, I guess looking at the trailer, it didn't seem like, well, it didn't feel like a movie that's going to give people ideas, which I think is what people were worried about, that like, oh, why give them ideas? Now this is going to be like a blueprint for a civil war or something. And one of the reasons I kind of dismiss that is because The movie starts out saying that the states of Texas
and California.
I'm like, what could possibly have happened in this America where both California and Texas looked at each other like, we out, right?
We're on the same side.
Are they out, but we're on the same side. I'm like, what could possibly have happened? You know, so it's just, it felt... that was a red flag in a different way. And I think it's kind of warning because there's something about that that feels safe-ish, you know, because I think if you just were like California succeeded, then you have one group of people who are pissed off. And if it's just Texas, then you'd have another group. But when you have both of them, then it's kind of feels like neither one of those groups would be pissed off about something in particular. And I think that bears out in this movie. That's probably my biggest complaint.
We'll talk about that later. We'll talk about that because I have a different perspective on what was accomplished or not accomplished. Rob, what about you? Where were you at in heading into this?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Alex Garland. You know, being an A24 was just like an, you know, added bonus. Yeah, I liked the cast. I wanted to see Kirsten Dunst, something, and a big fan of Wagner Moura and stuff. And that kind of intrigued me too. Like what Reggie said about, you know, which states succeeded and which states were kind of like not involved and whatnot. And I think that Alex Garner did that intentionally, but we could talk more about that later.
Yeah. Dawson, what about you?
I'm excited to see this movie, right? It's an interesting topic that, you know, these are kind of my kind of things to see possible scenarios. I was definitely excited. It had my attention.
Okay. Well, let's get into it. For anyone that is concerned about the political undertones of this movie, it is not the movie that you think it is. This movie, to a fault for some people, is apolitical. And it's not even really about what happened to cause the rift between different areas of the country or even where any of those people stand. This is more a story about the reporters that feel like they're documenting this piece of history to show people. It is a very isolated story. This is not... It is Civil War in name, and you see a Civil War taking place. But this, in my opinion, is not what I would classify as a war movie. It takes place during war times, and there are war scenes. But that is not really what this movie is necessarily interested in. And to some people, that is the movie's biggest fault. Is that it doesn't take chances by taking stands. It walks up to the line of maybe what people thought the movie was going to have to say about maybe current political climates. It maybe walks up to those lines a little bit, but it never crosses it. It never fully examines it. But that's not really what Garland is trying to do. So I hear people's complaints about that, and it's almost like your complaint really, in my opinion, is not that the movie has nothing to say. Your complaint is that you didn't get the movie you thought you were going to get, basically. That's my opinion.
I can see where you're coming from with that, but I think the problem is that it's not the movie that was sold to us either. Like, I feel like that is a movie that was sold to us, about a movie about a civil war in America and what that would look like and why it's happening and, you know, like the final outcome. And yeah, you know, in A24 fashion, the movie that's on the poster and in the trailer is not what we're getting. You know, this is a movie about war journalism and the different stages of interest and then being in it and then the cynical outcome of what it means to have been in that kind of horror for like your whole career or whatever. But, and that's good. Like, I didn't hate the movie I was given. I really enjoyed it. I think there are some things about it that are predictable, but I think the problem is with the backdrop of a civil war in America and given our current political climate, I think it is cowardice to put this backdrop and then not do anything with it. You know, because there are a lot of moments where they came up to the line of having a message. And I was like, oh, here comes the message part. And they run the fuck away from it. And I was so disappointed. I wasn't mad. I was just really disappointed because it's like, you know that this is a moment where you should say something and you choose not to say anything. And I think that's kind of that's a big letdown for me.
Can I throw this back at you? I think really what Garland's trying to do is he puts this story is about, like you said, war journalism. And a lot of times the purpose of war journalism in general, is to report on what is happening and not necessarily put your biases or your spin on what's happening. It's merely to document. And I think what he's doing by not putting messages and not, defining the sides of the battle is allowing the story to take place without biases of who's right and who's wrong. It's not about which side is right. It's not about which side is wrong or who's doing what. We don't even know. I mean, there's a couple of signs here and there that sort of tell you where people are, but you don't really know which side is, which side is conservative. You don't know which side is liberal. You don't really. And I think by not doing that in the movie, it's allowing us to see it through the lens of these war journalists that are trying to document rather than put their own spin or their biases into their stories.
Okay. The only thing I would say in reply to that is I think that's the problem a lot of people have with journalism today, is that they act like they pretend as if, hey, we're not calling balls and strikes, we're just reporting the game. But there's no way, and I think this movie illustrates that, there's no way for you to be involved and not show your bias one way or the other. You know, like this both sides-ism, you know, and not saying somebody's right or wrong is part of the problem and the reason people have lost faith in the institution of journalism, because it's easy to just be like, oh, you know, 500 people died in this country today because of this war. And like, that's a sanitized way of reporting things. But like, there is obviously a right and wrong in those things. And journalism seems to decide who is right. You know, like they pick and choose when they want to, you know, yeah, they pick and choose when they want to, you know, be quote unquote, you know, the objective observer, you know. But then there are things like the war in Ukraine. Like, if you look at the way that the war in Ukraine has been reported versus the war in Palestine, there are very two different, you know, there is obviously a right and wrong in Ukraine. Like, everyone's like, yeah, Russia invaded and this is wrong, yada yada. But then the ambiguity of Palestine and Israel is a prime example. And like, that's what this movie does. Like, yeah, there are times where they'll go into a place and it's like, oh, we really don't know what's going on or who's right or who's wrong. Then there are times where it's like, oh, we're going to make it so blatantly obvious that, you know, we have to call a ball or strike on that. And like, but then they don't do anything with that, you know, because like the Jesse Plemons part of the movie, I really thought that they were going to have something to say. Like, I think if at any point this movie has something to say, it was then. And they chose not to, even though, you know, what was going on was an obvious right or wrong situation.
I think they did say something. I think that's like the most talked about part of this movie, is that scene.
People talk about it for like the graphicness of it. Yeah. But like, I don't think people are talking about like they're not talking about why that would happen, and those, you know, they never really go into the motivations, I guess, is what I'm saying. You know, because, like, it's just, is Jesse Plemons, is he a militia guy? Is he a military guy? Is he doing that because he's a racist, or is he just doing it because he wants America to be for Americans? You know, like, even in that scene, one of the most graphic and horrible scenes in the movie, we still don't, they just still don't talk about the type of person that would do what he's doing. And I guess that's my point, because, like, before they even go into it, you have the one character who's like, yo, everything about me says that this is wrong. We need to get out of here. And they totally ignore him. And I feel like even that was a moment where it could have been like, the way certain Americans look at a situation is so very different, because you have a bunch of journalists who think that they're protected, you know, like a certain, because there is a certain group of Americans who think that, like, they're protected from people like Trump because of whether, you know, whatever privilege they have. And then other Americans who are like, just because, you know, it, yeah. Yeah, and then the other, you know, underprivileged who are like, yeah, this is a dangerous situation, and recognize it because they've been in situations like that. Like, the movie doesn't really talk about that, and that's why I was like, oh, this sucks. Because they know they could make that point, and choosing not to, and even breaching and coming up to the point, I think, is a failure.
I think that they were trying to cover, like, multiple points and not focus solely on one. And, you know, you mentioned the Ukraine and what's going on in Israel. There's, like, all kinds of stuff that nobody hears about, nobody sees. And sometimes nobody ever even knows what happens, because there's nobody to tell about. And I think what they're trying to say is, like, hey, all this stuff can happen, and if these guys aren't doing their job, nobody's going to know about it. And I think that's the message that they're putting out in this movie, that, you know, we need these people doing their job, so then we can say what's good or bad, or why did they do this and how did they do that. That was the point that I got from this film.
And Reggie, I think I hear what you're saying, but I think that there's sort of this distinction that you could make between, I know it doesn't really work this way, and I sort of think it should. I think that you should, there are different types of journalism, and there are people that you should have people that are there to document, you know, event by event from a nonpartisan perspective. And then you have other people that can come in and dissect the reporting that those people have done. I do think there should be bipartisan reporting. And then, because I think the problem that a lot of people have is there is so much partisan reporting, and it's almost all that we get anymore, is everyone seeks and finds the reporting that they deem to be the reporting that most closely resembles what they believe is happening. So it's the echo chamber effect. So I think having reporters and documentarians out there that can give you a nonpartisan perspective and report on things without biases, I think that's important. And then also having people that can do whatever it is that they deem appropriate and dissect the reporting of those people. I think a perfect view of the press would have all of those pieces. And I think we don't have all of those pieces, and that's part of the problem. So, and that's not really necessarily, you know, we're getting into a much bigger discussion than just this movie, right? But I think this movie represents that piece of the media that I think we're missing a lot. I think we're missing a lot of that. And if you want to call it desensitized or sterilized or whatever, I think having that piece that then we can go off of, okay, these events happened. This is what happened. This is documented. This did happen. I think that is important. And I think that that's sort of the purpose of these characters in this movie. And I think that's sort of part of the reason why Garland chooses not to go down that route. And, you know, I can't speak for him, and that's part of what art is, right? Like, art forces you to have conversations about things. And mm-hmm. I left the theater sort of thinking like, okay, I knew this was going to be a discussion that was much deeper than just what this movie was. And I think this movie spurring on conversation is enough to warrant its existence. It is causing people to have discussions that they wouldn't have otherwise. And maybe it's film bro discussion for people that might not normally have it, but it's sort of shining a light on it for people that maybe don't necessarily always have a light shown on it. Like, you have a different perspective. Like, I listened to you talk about that just then, and I'm like thinking like, okay, what is my dumb ass going to say back to him right now? So that's where I'm at with it. And that was what I took away from it, is like, okay, this is what he's trying to say about reporting. This movie is not about a war. It's not about who's right and who's wrong. This movie is about this piece of reporting that so much of the world misses. We don't really have this. And, you know, or at least not to the degree that we should. And that's what I think about it. And Dawson, I haven't heard you talk since we started the review piece of this or this discussion. So I'll turn it over to you to see if you have anything to add to this.
I mean, you guys are kind of covering a lot of this. I'll just say for me, like, I expected a different movie that was going to cover more of this, especially with some of the marketing that came out ahead of time. Like, we heard about the Western Forces, whatever Western it's forces. Called, the Texas and California side of things. We hear about them. We don't hear anything about like Florida. The whole map shows like there's that, and then there's like a region in the north, and there's a region in the south. There's like five different regions, and it's like we didn't hear anybody like really any of that. I wanted to know more about the actual war that's going on. Like, give me snippets of what's going on. I mean, then it's okay. So took away it from that's what I expected. Is this movie was going to be a war movie that showed us more about the war, and it was a journalism film, which is fine. But I just was kind of like, yeah, okay.
I mean, that's what I expected too, but I liked the movie that I got.
Yeah, what I got, but it was just like, man.
You were expecting something else.
Yeah, I was like, you're teasing me with this. Why are they fighting? What are they fighting over? You know, what happens after? Like, how does this resolve? Does it not resolve? I don't know. That's I wanted to get the details of, like, I don't know. That's what I was looking for, and I didn't get any of that.
Is there also a piece of this that it's interesting that it's coming from an English creator, writer, director, and not an American? You know, is there anything to that? No? Nothing?
No. Okay. Yeah, maybe he lives in America.
Yeah, I think he's lived here long enough, I think. And
I mean, that way he goes on the internet and he sees, like, every day.
I mean,
like,
he's been in Hollywood long enough. Yeah.
Okay.
I think, like, Steven Spielberg would be competent enough to do a movie about Brexit. In, like, some Brexit dystopian future.
Okay. All right. Just checking. I'm just asking questions, guys. Yeah, just asking questions. Do your own research.
You got people every day in this country begging for this to happen. Like, there's countries like there's people all over this country. They might be listening to this podcast. They're like, God, I hope we get a civil war. And like, maybe you should watch this movie. Maybe this is what your like little wet dreams are looking for with your little pistols, Rob, and like your bulletproof vests and like your camo, not you, Rob. I'm not saying you want civil war, but like people are packing with like their camo and they've got their cargo pants and their utility belts.
I don't know why Rob is catching bullets.
Because Rob's like, look at my arsenal. I'm just saying. Rob doesn't want civil war, I don't think. We're not that political over here.
No.
But like, that's what people are clamoring for this shit. And it's like, you have people training like militias, and like they have shields that are made out of like plastic, and I don't know. I just
that first firefight that we got when they were heading to Pittsburgh was basically
Pittsburgh.
That was basically a local militia defending their town from the military. So yeah, you got that scenario in this film where, well, like, hey, we don't want that shit in our town, you know. Yeah. Get the hell out of here. Well, and also they you know, you mentioned about the Florida Alliance. They kind of like went into like, hey, we won't get involved if you leave us alone. So, you know, these states right here, you do your thing, but don't come in here, kind of deal. That's what that was. They were trying to get the Carolinas to join them, but they didn't join them.
In the interest of keeping this episode at a reasonable length, what did you guys think of the performances in the movie?
Yeah. I was thinking we should talk about what the movie actually was instead of what it should have been. I thought the performances were really great. I had that big complaint. All that aside, I liked Dawson. I really enjoyed the movie that I was given. You know, the movie about these journalists and kind of what is done, what they go through as journalists, the horrible things they have to see and how it changes them. And I thought Kirsten Dunst's character was amazing. Her acting was really, like, I've always thought she was just an okay actress.
Average?
Like, yeah, average. But I was like, oh, she's really good. She was really good in this, I thought. And it was a fun watch. And her character versus Wagner, Moira? I'm sorry,
Moira. Richard.
Moira, like his character, he seemed like just gung ho, and it was just like, yo, this is fun, this is exciting, this is why I, you know, get out of bed every day. And then it's not real to him until it starts to hit home, which is like, I feel, well, again, another potential message they don't delve into. But nonetheless, I think they, his character and the way things that he goes through, and then you have, you know, this up and comer who's trying to, who has romanticized this kind of thing. And just, it's interesting how it could be so desensitized until you're in it. And that's what I think this movie really shows, is how when we watch the things on television and in our news media and print, that these aren't just stories. These are actual people, you know, and these are people that have died or have had horrible things happen. And I think that's what this movie is, where the movie really shines. Cause when you get to the end, you're kind of like, yeah, fuck this president, you know,
dude. And that is it's a very real thing, right? Like the news not hitting you hard until it's close to home. Cause I mean, it's a much smaller piece of it, but I've experienced that recently a couple of times. Like, you know, my daughter's, their mother's house caught on fire while they were in it, right? And I you hear all the time, like, oh, it's a house fire, these kids lost all their things, you know, we're making donations and all that stuff. And in my head, I'm always like, oh God, that's, you know, it's terrible. That's awful. Yeah, I'll give a little bit. But whenever it happens to the people that you're close to, it's like a totally, like, you see it from a whole different perspective, right? Like, it hits home. So that's a very real thing, even on a much smaller scale. So that's a very real message that can hit you. But to your point about Kirsten Dunst, Reggie, I've also always kind of shared that belief about her, is that she's average to good actress. But I think she's done some of the best work of her career recently. I think this is a great role. She was great in that, like one of the things that I loved about the Power of the Dog Western movie that we watched, mm-hmm, back around the pandemic times. So I think she is blossomed into what she probably always was that I didn't recognize, which is a great actress. Yeah, I don't think she just happened to become a great actress at this later age. She probably always was, and I just never realized it, or I didn't watch the movies where she showcased that or whatever. So I do think now she's a great actress. I love Nick Offerman. I wish I could get more of him in this. Same with Jesse Plemons. Like, Jesse Plemons makes every movie better whenever he's in it. I would love to have more Jesse Plemons in everything whenever I watch it. And Kaylee Spaney. Like, everyone is great. Wagner, Mora. Everyone is great in this. The performances are awesome. Stephen McKinley Henderson. He's great. Sammy. He's awesome. I don't have a bad thing to say about any of the actors in this movie.
He got more screen time in this than he did in Dune Part 1.
He got completely cut out Dune Part 2. So I loved the performances in this. And the cinematography, like, it's shot beautifully. Technically speaking, this film is fantastic. Say whatever you want about the lack of messaging or the safeness of it. Like, from a technical perspective, I don't know how anyone could have a complaint about this movie. Technically, it's a well-made film.
Mm-hmm.
Narratively, say what you want, but this is a well-made film. And if this is the kind of thing that A24 is interested in doing with their, you know, once again, mid-budget blockbuster movies, like, I would be down for this. What I fear is they get into the big budget blockbuster movies that, you know, just don't live up to what I expect out of an H. This still feels quite a bit like an A24 movie, just, you know, kind of gussied up a little bit.
Bigger scale.
Yeah. So yeah. I was happy to see that. So it's not the movie probably that we were sold, but I was happy with it. I walked out of the theater very pleased with the movie that I saw. So what else? What do we want to get in there before we get out of here?
I'll just say this. I don't want people to think that I didn't like this movie. I really did love this movie. I thought it was really, really good. Like, it's what I expect from an A24 movie. I wish they hadn't sold me a movie that, and then not given me the movie they sold me. You know, like, it does feel bait and switches, and like, I never like that. Even if I do like the final product, because I really do like this. Like, if they had sold me this movie, I still would have seen it, you know, and I still would have enjoyed it. So there are just the little things that are small gripes. But aside from that, it's real well acted. And like you said, cinematography, when you go in and at the end, that final battle scene, I thought that was powerful, you know. I did not like. Okay. I think where we end up with the characters who end up dying was very predictable in a way that was like one character all but said, this is my last mission. I'm going to go retire and meet up with my family. You know, they all but said that. And you know, in a war movie, what happens to the person who on their last mission. So like that happens in this. And I was like, oh, that sucks. Because I was like,
I don't mind a trope here and there, honestly. Like, they're tropes for a reason. They're tropes for a reason, right? As long as it's not riddled with tropes, I'm okay with it. I mean, there's a reason that happens in so many of these movies, right? I don't know. It's I'll give them one or two.
The reason it bothered me was because it felt like, I was like, that is not how you would get somebody out of the way of danger in that situation. You would tackle said person, not push them down. You know, like that's not how that would work. But whatever.
I don't know.
Like, I knew why.
I've never been in that situation, Reggie. I don't know how that would work. I don't, when the bullets start flying, I don't know how I'm going to react. Rob Dawson, anything else?
Nah, I mean, it was good. I enjoyed it. I had fun, it was decent enough. I was, you know, it wasn't the movie I wanted, but it was still, I feel like you could rename it just like War Photographers, something else.
It's a great title. War Photographers.
War Journalists. Photojournalism.
War Journalism.
The War Journals.
Something.
All right. Well, do we want to give our scores?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Who wants to go first?
Anyone? I'll go first. Okay. I really, like I said, those complaints that I had with this movie are not so big that I would dock it too much. It didn't ruin the movie. I really did enjoy this movie. Great acting. I do think that there is a message in there about, it's not, I like the message we got, even if it wasn't what I thought we were going to get. Let me say that. But there are really good messages about, you know, how we view media and how it comes to us and what we can do with that moving forward, I think. I think this is a really good watch for anybody who wants to. In A24, again, knock it out of the park. So I would give it a 8 out of 10.
Is that the score you were going to give it coming in?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Just curious.
I mean, I may have gone like an 8.5, but like, yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, last time we reviewed a Garland movie, I fucked you up. Oh. So I just...
I don't think I could be talked up on this one.
Rob.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this film. I thought it was very smart, very well done. I loved how it ended. I really liked the cast, especially Kirsten Dunst and Wagner Moura and other guy, Stephen McKinley Henderson. I think those three were really the cream of the crop. I like, you know, Nick Offerman is great, but we didn't get much of him in this film. And it's definitely somewhat hitting home right now with, you know, all the crap going on in the world. And it, you know, kind of like says like, hey, you know, this can happen right here. You know, it doesn't only just happen on the other side of the planet, but it can happen here too. And if we don't have people letting us know what's going on, then we won't know what's going on. And it'll be just like some of the towns that we saw in this film is like, hey, you know, we don't want to think about that stuff. And or we don't care about that stuff. You know, it's important to know what's going on around you. And I think that was the message that they were trying to get across in this film. And I think that this movie is an 8 out of 10.
Okay. Of all the movies that we've watched in 2024 reviewed, this is the one I'm most likely, at least up until this point, this is the one I'm most likely to go back to at some point. I enjoyed it. Big Alex Garland fan these days. I honestly didn't even realize how much I like his filmography until I was looking through the movies that he had directed and written. I think that he is fantastic. He said this was going to be the last movie that he directed. He was going to go back to being just a screenwriter. Dawson's pumping his fist because he has not enjoyed Alex Garland's directorial turns so far. But I really enjoyed this. Like I said, the acting was great, and I don't have as big of a problem with the bait and switch as some people do. So I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. I think it's a fantastic movie, and like I said, I'll probably revisit it at some point, which these days I'm not doing very often. I'm not going back and watching things. So I'll give it a 9 out of 10. Dawson, take us home.
I liked it. It was fine. I just really wanted to get more into the story, which is fine. It if I take that away and I just accept the movie that I got, it was a great movie. Visually, it was great. Story was pretty interesting, even though I was kind of confused of what was going on. It's a war film, and war is not pretty. So, no, I liked it. I'll give it an 8 out of 10.
Okay. 3/8 and a 9. That's an 8.25. That's a see it, gentlemen. Go see it, people. And
I'm really here for it.
Yeah, that's where we're at. I mentioned earlier that we do have a schedule change. We were scheduled to review a couple of movies, that being Rebel Moon Part 2 on Netflix and Abigail the following week. Those have both been removed from the schedule. Rebel Moon Part 2 was removed, and we opted because it is everyone's belief that at some point we are going to get the Zack Snyder cut of Rebel Moon. And whenever all the entirety of the Snyder cut is released, we will then review that at that point. So we're going to push that down the road. We're going to review Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, the Henry Cavill movie that's coming out next week. We'll review that next week. And then the following week was Abigail. That's also been removed. Reggie and I will be reviewing that, just the two of us, on Patreon.
Just the two of us.
Thank you. Patreon.com/CinemaChatPodcast. It's going to be a cutting room floor review with me and Reggie. We're not going to force Dawson to see that movie, because he doesn't like, quote, stupid horror movies. Whatever. Yeah.
I don't want your dumb shit anymore.
But we're going to review Boy Kills World, which is Alexander Skarsgård action movie where he is deaf. Watch the trailer. Looks interesting. I don't know if it'll be good, but we're going to talk about it. So that's our next 2 weeks. Then we got The Fall Guy and Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. That's our next 4 reviews. Write it down. Be about it. We're not reviewing Challengers as much as I would like to. It's another one that I'm not going to force other people to see, but I hear nothing. I hear nothing but great things about that movie.
You buy the one dude on TikTok.
No. It's got like a, it has like a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes with multiple reviews. Or at least it did the other day whenever I looked. So I'm not going to force you guys to see it.
I fully believe that's going to be a great movie. I just...
It's not for you. It's okay. Yeah. It's for me.
It feels like a Saturday morning or afternoon movie to me.
It's okay.
I watch and I'm like, oh, that was amazing.
I'll see it. I'll be the one that's here for the year of Zendaya. That's fine. I'll be the one. It's okay. I'm not going to force anybody. It's okay.
Okay, Kit Laser. Chill out. Dude, the more I watch this stuff, I'm like, he just has a boner for all of these movies. I'm like, just relax.
All right. But that's going to do it for us for this week. We'll see you all next week for the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. Bye.
You don't need to follow me. You don't need to follow anybody.
But you can follow us. I'm Brent, and I am...
X, not Malcolm.
And he's Rob, and he's...
Rob.
One.
There's also Reggie, who is...
Hit on.
We can't forget about Dawson at...
Andy!
Underscore Dawson.
Don't forget to follow the podcast at CinemaChatPod on Twitter. And check out our website, cinemachatpodcast.podbean.com.
I'm following you now. I'm just going to follow you everywhere. I'm just going to follow you the rest of my life.
Thanks, Peter. Now, if the rest of you would get off your ass and follow us, that would be great.
Mail, motherfucker!
Oh, and don't forget to send your emails to cinemachatpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Please, send us something. Have a good week, everyone. Goodbye.
...97% with 60 reviews. That's all I'm saying. And also, Daggard, this is not the movie you think it was. Don't worry. You'll be all right. We'll see you next time.
You're still here. It's over. Go home.
Oh, and don't leave your garbage all lying around. It's a total dick move.
Go.